Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. I hope you read this. Like you, I read the whole book, and some verses really spoke to me. All of it spoke to me, but some of them I wanted to deal with again. And this is one of them. Very convicting, very needful. Let's read verses 1 through 7. Ecclesiastes 5, 1 through 7. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. Be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. They consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through a multitude of business. A fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. And when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. He hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow or not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel, the spirit, that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hand? And the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also divers vanities. But fear thou God. So this is the subject. We can sum it up in five words. Let thy words be few. You remember the Goliath, the great giant, was standing before all Israel, and he was doing all the talking, wasn't it? He was boasting and bragging and talking. And David chose five smooth stones, and he brought that big boaster and bragger and talker down. And we need to have these five smooth stones bring down this big giant within us called self. Because he is the source of all our troubles. Let thy words, and this is what you've read Ecclesiastes, you've read Proverbs, haven't you? How much scripture talks about the tongue. So, may the Lord use these words. Notice who he's speaking to. Okay? Keep thy foot when thou goest. Verse 2, be not rash with thy mouth, let not thine heart. Who's he speaking to? You? Me? So let's not think about anybody else, okay? This is to me. Lord, tell him, me. I can't do anything about what you say, your tongue. But may the Lord give me grace to do something about my tongue. Let not thy mouth cause your flesh to sin. Don't you say, don't you be boastful and so forth. So this is talking to each one of us. All right? Verse 1 begins, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. This is speaking of the way we approach the worship of our Lord. And you notice these seven verses go together. He's speaking of the tongue and the heart and the hand, the mouth and the feet and so forth, and approaching God. And in verse 7, it ends this way: fear God. Fear God. That's where wisdom begins, isn't it? So he's talking about approaching our Lord, approaching worship in the fear of the Lord. We approach worship in reverence. And we come here, and this is so unlike modern religion. Modern religion is all about the hoopla and the fire and everybody getting all excited and stand up. No, the strength is to sit. Sit still. We come in here and we sit and we be still and know that he's God. Not ready to say much, but hear. He said in verse 1, ready to hear, didn't he? That's why we come here, to hear. I have a real disadvantage over you in that it's my job to stand up here and speak. Now, I really do get tired of doing all the speaking, but it's my vocation in. But like the preacher here in Ecclesiastes sought out acceptable words, words of wisdom, God's word. I want what I say when I'm opening my mouth to be God's word, not my own. But I'm a man, and flesh is, you talk for 2 hours in the course of a week, and flesh is going to come out in personality. I don't like my personality. Do you like your personality? It's going to come out. And nothing I can do about that. But, so, you've got an advantage. You just sit and be quiet. Somebody's got to tell this stuff. Mm-hmm. He says, tell us to be ready to hear. You know, worship is mostly hearing God's word. Coming to hear from our Lord. And we just thought about that Revelation 1. Blessed are they that read, blessed are they that hear. Over in Acts chapter 10, this is wonderful. You can turn if you want, you don't have to, but I'll read it for you. You remember the story of Cornelius, that Spirit of God told him that a man was coming to preach to him in his house, so he gathered everybody. he gathered everybody, his whole family, and friends and neighbors to his house, and they were sitting there waiting on Simon Peter. And it says in Acts 10:33, that Cornelius said, I sent to thee, and you've done well that you're come. Now therefore, Cornelius said, we're all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. So that's why we come here. And we come here. Here's what David said in Psalm 1. The very first psalm says, blessed is the man or the woman that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Standeth in the way of sinners. And then he said over in Psalm 26, I love this. He said, I haven't sat with, I've hated a congregation of evildoers, haven't sat with vain persons. He said, my foot standeth in an even place in the congregations. That's where I will be by God's grace. That's where I want to be, don't you? I want my feet to be under a pew. In the house. I want to be like Mephibosheth all my life. Don't you? At the king's table. Hearing his voice. Mephibosheth got to hear the wisdom of David. He got to hear the wisdom of David. He sat there right beside the king, David, all his life. Wasn't that wonderful? Can you imagine? How much talking do you think he did? Maybe a lot of questions. That's what David said. I want one thing if I desire, and that will I seek after. I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. That's where I want my feet to be. May our feet be found in God's house. May our feet walk in paths of righteousness, for his name's sake. Walk with the Lord. Walk by faith. All right, in our text it says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. It speaks of preparation to worship, realizing whose presence we're in, coming into God's presence. Be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. They speech, talk, as they consider not since evil. Be more ready to hear than to talk. James said that, didn't he? Let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. Oh, how much is said of the tongue, the lips, and the mouth in God's Word, because it's, James says, such a world of iniquity. Perhaps or probably every war that's ever been fought has started with the tongue. You know that? The old silly little child statement, and that's just what it is, silly. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. No, it's the opposite. Bones will heal. But a brother offended, harder one than a city. And real brothers and friends are hard to come by. They're a gift of God. And I don't want to lose any of them. Sure, not by my foolishness, my foolish talk. So he says here, people are ready to hear. Verse 2, be not rash with thy mouth. Let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. God is in heaven, thou upon earth. Let thy words be few. He speaks of fools. By the way, God's name is 6 times in these 7 verses before God, the fear of God. It's God that we should be conscious of. That would regulate. If we were really conscious of who we're talking in front of, God. He that made the ear, shall he not hear? And then it speaks of fools 3 times. The first 4 verses, it brings up fools, fools, fools. It says they're known, quickly known, a multitude of words. They want to talk. Another proverb says a fool's mind is readily known. He's gonna immediately spew it out, and you're going to know. You know, that one, somebody once said, better to be thought a fool and keep quiet than open your mouth and remove all doubt. But that's what it said. A fool's mind is readily known, presently known, easily known. He's the one that's doing all the talking. And he's the one that's got, he or she's the one that's got something quick to say about everything, opinion and so forth. It's called the sacrifice of fools. Why? What's a sacrifice? Sacrifice is when you give something. A sacrifice is when you offer something. What does a fool have to give? Advice. My dad told us preachers, he said, only give advice when you're asked for it. He said, and then give it just half the time. That's good advice. A fool gives advice. A fool offers his or her opinion. That's the offering of fool. Let me offer my opinion. People do this. I-M-H-O. Oh, come on, yeah. In my humble opinion. That's what that is. I-M-H-O. I hate that. I hate those abbreviations. I hate them. Anyway. T-Y. Why can't you say thank you? Anyway, there ain't no such thing as a humble opinion. You ought to say I-M-P-O. In my proud opinion. You see, a fool has talked him or herself into believing that they really know something about everything. And the scripture said, if any man thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing. Yes, he ought to know. You know, the older you get, hopefully the wiser you get, and the more you realize, the more you know, the more you realize you don't know. Right? And that knowledge will increase your sorrow, realizing what a fool you've been to open your mouth all this time. A fool has talked him or herself into thinking they have something to offer. We don't have anything. We own nothing. Nothing is original. There's nothing we have. No beauty, no wisdom, no strength, no talent, no anything that's of ourselves. If whatever we have is a gift, God's given it to us. How could we possibly be proud and act like We've accomplished something. We haven't accomplished anything. You know that? After it's all said and done, nothing we've ever done is going to be remembered by anybody. Nothing. Whose word's going to endure forever? Whose works? That's who we need to be talking about. Bring it on. A fool has talked him or herself into thinking they can do something. When our Lord said, without me, you can do nothing. Paul even said this, we're not sufficient to even think at that. We can't even think right thoughts. We need grace, though. So he calls it evil pride. Fools don't consider that it's such evil. Pride is evil. It's the worst form of evil. It's taking credit for something we don't have credit for. It's sharing God's glory. And God hates it. He hates it worse than anything. So he says in verse 2, anybody need this beside me? Anybody? He says in verse 2, so be not rash with thy mouth. Now, he just talked about the foot. Now, he's talking about the mouth. You know there's a disease called foot and mouth. Seriously. Yep. It's not just in animals. These nurses will tell you there's a real disease in human beings. And it starts in children. It's called foot and mouth disease. Now, isn't that divinely ironic? And you know this foot and mouth in animals, it's not in horses or dogs or cats. It's in cattle. It's those that part the hoof. It's in cattle and sheep and goat. Are you with me? That's us. We got a bad case of it. Rash. It causes you to have a rash. Be rash. Speak rashly. It's an ugly rash. It's called pride. It comes out of the mouth. The great swelling words. That's what Peter talked about, didn't he? He used great swelling word. And feet. It affects the feet. Walk in pride. Just strut. You know, when the Lord got a hold of Jacob, you know how he walked from then on? With a halt. He wasn't strutting in front of anybody. He was limping. He wasn't out in front leading the parade. He'd just be glad to be in it. Slimping. Chains. Humble. Broken. Matthew 12. Go to Matthew 12. Let's listen to what our Lord said. Well, we are. Every bit of this is our Lord's word. But Matthew 12. And this rash is like leprosy. This hoof and mouth disease. It begins on the inside and it begins to come out in a rash called pride. Starts in the heart. Matthew 12, we just read this in Ecclesiastes 5. Matthew 12, our Lord says in verse 34, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good thing. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil thing. And I say unto you, now listen to this. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words shalt thou be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. The Lord Jesus Christ said that. What does he mean by that? He meant exactly what he said. Didn't it? Aren't you thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ? For Christ being crucified. But does this still apply to us? Well, sure does. Oh, Lord. That's why David prayed, create in me a clean heart. Renew within me a right spirit, constant spirit. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sin, secret sin, so on and so forth. Set a watch over my lips and on it goes. Oh, my. Go back to our text. You know, if our words, If our words aren't God's words, then they're idle words. Useless, whatever the subject may be. If our words aren't true, then they're, if they're not God's word, and they're not true words, then they're rumor or opinion or gossip or something like that. And so, worthless, not worth speaking. So he says in verse 2, be not rash with thy mouth. Ask the Lord to cure us. Ask the Lord to cure you of this hoof and mouth disease. Let not thine heart be hasty. Out of the abundance of the heart, out of the heart of the issues of life, let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything. Don't be quick to speak. Don't be ready to speak, ready to talk. James said, be ready to hear, more ready to hear than to give. Or he said it, than to sacrifice a fool. James said, be swift to hear, slow to speak. You know, an opinion, we talked about this the other day, didn't we? Opinion is like every one of you are sitting on one. Like a rear end. Everybody has one. All right? Don't show yours. Nobody wants to see it. All right? That's an opinion. That's all it is. It's ugly, it's evil, it's pride. Always want to give our advice and our opinion, and it can be very, very hurtful. And what it is to say, you ought to be more like me. And I know this and you don't. And I'm wise and you're not. Same way with ridicule and belittling and mocking and so on and so forth. To say, if only you knew what I knew and could do what I do. And it's just an opinion. And what difference does it make? If it's not about God's word, what difference does it make? Whatever it is, politics or sports or hobbies or food or clothing, what difference does it make if this person wants to wear blue and you think yellow? Or this person has an elephant for a pet. So what? They can handle it, fine. They don't ridicule. Don't mock. Don't scoff. People say this, if I were you, I'd... You know what you'd do if you were them? Exactly what they're doing. You're not them. I'm not you. Well, they don't do things like the Mahan. Well, who cares? The Mahan's got it right?
No.
I tell you who's got it right. Let God be true. And every man a liar. Huh? So why does it matter? And opinions and advice and counsel and all that, if it's not from God's word, it's hurtful. It's demeaning. It's belittling. And it can ruin a relationship. It can. So he says in verse 2, don't utter anything before God. God's in heaven. And you're upon the earth. So what do we know? What do we know about anything? What do we know about God? Paul said. Paul went to the third heaven. Paul, the greatest of the apostles. Paul, greatest theologian ever lived. Paul, the Lord used to write 14, 15 books. Paul said, I preach in part. I know in part. He said, I'm not sufficient for anything. Where does that leave the rest of us? Before God. You know, if we were conscious of our all-seeing, all-hearing, all-knowing God, it would humble us and shut our mouth. Wouldn't it? It'd make us say this. If we're conscious that it's God that's listening to us speak, it would make us say, I need to put my hand over my mouth. Go to the book of Job. This happened to Job, didn't it? You know the story? Book of Job. Book of Job. Job, you know, the Lord said there was none like him, didn't it? Perfect man, upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. He said there was none like him in all the earth. But when it was all said and done, when it was all said and done, what was Job? A man. And every man at his best day is what?
at his best day.
And Job, as long as he didn't talk too much, he didn't sin with his lips, did he? Look at this. This is wonderful. We love this, and it helps us, doesn't it? Greatly. After all that happened to Job, the Lord sent it all. And here's Job's conclusion, verse 21. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he stopped talking. And in all this, Job sinned not. And chapter 2 says, he sinned not with his lips. He said to his wife, his foolish wife, told him, curse God. He said, shall we receive good at God's hand? Shall we not receive evil? Job said, I deserve all this. Didn't deserve all he gave it to me, and he purposed to take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. As he was quiet. And for days he sat there. And his friends came, and then they started talking. They started talking. Now jump over to chapter 38. And they talked and they talked and they talked and they all tried to figure everything out, didn't they? They all had their opinions, didn't they? Much of it was good. Much of what Job said was good and right and true. However, he began to defend himself. And when we begin to defend ourselves, you know who we're defending? A guilty person. Because whatsoever the law saith them that are under the law, that what?
Every mouth should be stopped.
That every mouth may be stopped. Every mouth. Job 38. Now the Lord answered, after all the talking, the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? And I read Job and I think, my, my. Some wonderful things said, true things. As long as it was about God, as long as it was about the Lord, his Redeemer, the resurrection, Job 14, and so on. I know my Redeemer liveth. He's standing on that. That's good. That's wonderful. That's profitable. But Job, don't defend yourself. Don't defend your cause. Don't do it. Don't do it. Chapter 40, look at this. Chapter 40 of Job. Here's what Job finally, when the Lord, oh my, did the Lord told him to gird up your loins. And the Lord said, answered Job and said, verse 2, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer that? I'll lay my hand upon my mouth. He said, I've spoken once. I will not twice. I'll proceed no further. Good, Joe. That's good. Now, here's the ultimate thing we should think about. Where is Christ in all this? He's the one that wrote it. Okay? And let me tell you this, talking about in the presence of God. Let's stand in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Let's stand at the foot of the cross where our Lord Jesus Christ is bearing not his sins, but mine. Who's bearing all of my blame that God put on him what I did. And he's standing before all these fools convicting him and accusing him of, he didn't do any of that. Who did it? I did it. And he's not opening his mouth. So how could I defend myself? For my defense, he didn't open up his mouth. Falsely accused, took our blame, opened not his mouth, did not defend himself, took the blame. He said, if you seek these, it started in the garden. He said, if you seek them, if you seek me, let them go. He says to the law,
to the law that he kept perfectly. And we've broken in every point. Every point in thought, word, and deed, and continue to do so. He said, I've kept it perfect. To the Father, take me. Don't kill them. Take me. Boy, if that shouldn't shut our mouths. If that won't shut our mouths, what will?
Let thy word be few. Be not hasty to utter anything. Wise men studieth to answer. Gives it thought. Hesitant, careful to answer. Wants true words. Acceptable words. Or if they're not, if they're vain words. I'm going to labor this point because Scripture does. I'm going to keep laboring it. And end, it's going to end really good. It's all good. It's good. It's profit. But it's going to end really good. If we're not saying something good, what's the opposite of good?
Bad.
Evil. If we're not saying something helpful, what's the opposite of helpful?
Hurtful.
If we're not building up, what are we doing? Cutting down. If we're not saying something loving, say, right? And innuendos and this sort of thing, it's easy to see through that. Sincerity's, you know, sincerity. But hypocrisy's, it's not subtle at all. If we're not saying something pure, it's impure. If we're not praising, we're criticizing. No, finding fault. If it's not a good report, it's an evil report. Right? The spies went in the land. There were two faithful men. Two men that believed God. Two men like Christ. Joshua. Caleb. Our Lord said so. Caleb that followed me fully. He said, there's not a man around here except Joshua that follows me like Caleb. He's just like me. And Joshua and Caleb went into the land. And they came back and gave a good report. A good report. They were trying to build up Israel on this most holy, to build up, to encourage, to strengthen, to help, to comfort, to give peace and all that. 10 out of 12 gave a bad report. Oh, you're going to kill us all. All going to die. So let's just go back. If it's not a good report. And buddy, God's word to God's people is good. It's all good. It's a good report. You have good news. All right. Don't listen to this world. Don't listen to anybody that doesn't that brings you an evil report. For God's people, it's all good. If we're not saying something, giving thanks, what are we doing? If we're not giving thanks, we're complaining. Ooh. David wrote a psalm, said, let there be no complaining in our streets. If we're not strengthening, we're weakening. If we're not encouraging, we're frightening. If we're not defending someone's honor, we're offended. And if we're not gathering, we're scattering. If we're not saying something spiritual, we're saying something carnal. And it ain't worth saying. Is that right? That's right. That's right. And, you know, it's such a sign of the end times. There's so many signs. 2 Peter 3. And you know, the Lord sent all those plagues, and one of them was pestilence. Noisome pestilence. We're living in a day with so much talk, so many venues, so many forums, so many ways for people to spout off. And it's just a deafening. Have you ever been in a crowded room and just stop talking and listen? It sounds like bees, beehive. And I wonder how many people in that room were talking about God. And how much truth is being said. It's out of word. And God hears it out. It's a noise in his ear. There's going to be silence in heaven. Let me bring this up again. There's going to be silence in heaven for the space of 30 minutes.
And sister, it's the first time in the history of the human race that everybody is silent. And it's going to be such peace. Nobody's opening their mouth. It's going to be such peace and quiet and comfort. And we're waiting on Him to speak who no man spake like. And none of us will ever want to say another blooming thing. And we're going to be enwrapped in everything He has to say to us. Now, let me end this way. Our Lord Jesus Christ was a man. He knew everything about everything. He did. What did He talk about? One thing. He didn't propound, He didn't promote, He didn't advocate anything but things above. He knew every food, what was proper to eat, all the healing. He didn't bring up anything. Did He? He didn't talk about anything. Politics, issues, social issues, but one thing. He knew everything. But He talked about one thing. Because there's one thing needful. Everything else is idle words. And not worth fussing and fighting over. Not worth talking about. Especially if it's divisive. Alright? Our Lord was a man. And He spoke. And He was a man of few words. And when He opened His mouth, grace poured from His lips. Grace was poured into His lips, the Scripture said. But His mouth, He tells us, let your word, your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. And that's how He spoke. Grace and salt. Grace and salt. A man of few words. Wise words. When He opened His mouth, you needed to listen. He didn't mince words. And they weren't off the top of His head. Don't think that's virtuous when somebody, well, she liked to speak her mind. That's bad. Unless it's the mind of Christ. Okay? Let's just pray. We don't need to hear. Our Lord didn't waste words on vain things. They were wise words. He didn't mince words. And they say, even His enemies said, never man spake like this man. They went to take Him. His enemies went to take Him. And they had to sit down and listen. And they were mesmerized. They were captivated by His words. And the Lord wasn't going to let them disrupt, you know, Him. And they went back and forgot what they went for. And I said, never man spake like this man. Grace poured from His lips. Grace and truth. Pure words. Pure words. Words of life. Words of life. You hang on His every word. Words to live by, words of life, eternal life, this life. His speech was powerful. Powerful. And it wasn't just in word only. It was in the Spirit of God. Holy Ghost. Power. He's able to open blind eyes and deaf ears. And, you know, we try. And why do we keep talking so much? Because we're trying our best to convince somebody of something that we know. He didn't try to convince anybody. But when He came to call someone, He called powerfully. Open ears with a word. Open eyes with a word. Break hearts with a word. That's who I want to speak. And that's whose words I want to use. Mine avail nothing. There's no power in my words at all. Not in the way I say it. Not what I say. No power whatsoever. His words were powerful. His words were truth. Truth. Oh, in this day and age, is it somebody could tell us the truth? Scriptures calls Him the faithful witness, a true witness. Oh, the truth. Can somebody tell us the truth about God? Yes. There's one. Truth about man. Truth about this life, about everything. Truth about Salvation, yes. Christ said, I am the truth. He spoke with faithfully, like a true friend, you know. A true friend will tell you the truth, won't they? And they'll do it in love. Not wanting to hurt, but love. Oh, how loving. He did it in love. He spoke in love. We're told to tell the truth, speak the truth in love. Well, He is love. He couldn't speak any other way to His people. Never hard or harsh or angry or merciful. Merciful. If He speaks to us, what mercy. Amen. He's a God that hides Himself. And He should. He ought to hide His face. He ought to not speak to us. Turn His back on us. He ought to. He turned to us and speak to us again. Kind. The words were kind. Caring. No man cared like He did. Covering. His words covered. He, you know, love covereth. The Lord knows everything about us. Every sin. Every sin. Every thought that you thought since you've been here tonight. He knows it. Not a word in our mouth, not a thought in our head, nothing we've ever done. The Lord knows it all. Every bit of it. He could sure expose us, couldn't He? Humiliate us, couldn't He? He covers. Covers it out. That woman. Don't you love that story? The woman caught in the act. Everybody knew she was guilty. Everybody knew she was guilty. Well, where's the man? Why wouldn't he? Anyway. And they all were talking. You remember? They were all talking. Everybody was talking. But our Lord. He wasn't talking. He stooped down. And it says it was as though He'd heard them not. He heard every word. He hears every word. But He wasn't talking. He's right in. And then He stood up and said one brief statement. He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. And then stooped back down. And when it was all over, everybody cleared out. All talk had stopped. And he's now stooped down where that guilty woman is. She has never said a word. She's guilty. The law, she's guilty. Her mouth is stopped. And all these people who seem to be moral, she stopped their mouth too. And then our Lord uttered those blessed words. The one who everybody knew was guilty, He said, justified, forgiven, free, completely forgiven. All your sins are gone, forever wiped out, never ever be brought back again. I remember them no more. They're covered. My dear daughter. That's what love does. Covers. Doesn't expose. His words were vital. That means needfulness. His words for help. Never hurt. His words. Oh my. I got to quit. Okay. Do you remember my dad, my pastor, he gave a threefold criteria for speaking, for repeating a matter. Remember? You remember? Everybody remembers. It's still good. Is it true? Before you repeat a matter, before you say anything, is it true? Is it truth? Is it true? And that would eliminate a lot of things that was said. All right, is it true? Did you see it? Did you hear it? Okay, the next thing, is it kind? Is it kind? Who's this going to help? Is it going to help or is it going to hurt? And that eliminates a lot of to say. And the last thing, it'll eliminate about everything. Is it necessary? Is it even necessary to bring it up? Now, someone in here is probably saying, you have me afraid to say anything. Good. Mission accomplished. Because He said, let your words be few. And our our troubles will be fewer. He that keepeth his mouth will keep his soul from many troubles. We go on and on with it. And I need this worse than anybody. And you know, less words, less trouble, less wars, less
fighting, more love, and we all dwell together, and we all like each other. If we don't open our mouth. And if we do, let it be something good. Will you say it?
Amen.
Okay, stay with me.